Is it much farther, Uchitil?
No!
Uchitil was annoyed at having his reverie interrupted. The fat little trader had given him news of a hunt, news that Uchitil had found most unwelcome. Though the sun appeared intermittently, most of the day was bleak, with flurries of snow reducing visibility. It was bad, but they had all seen much worse. Occasionally, a freak tornado came screaming from the north. The wind would be so strong that it would lift a man and his horse together and send them crashing to their death a mile away. Uchitil recalled being in a township to the south when such a storm arose. The buildings, tethered to bedrock with cables of spun metal, held safe. But one of the group, having drunk too much wine, was caught out in the open. The wind destroyed him, splinters of razored ice flaying the clothes from his flesh, then the flesh from his bones. To the left, Uchitil spotted movement, white against white. He reached to the Kalashnikov AKM 7.62mm and then saw that it was a bear, moving away from them in a lumbering, unhurried gait. It could be on its own, or it could be one of a large pack of bears whose tracks they'd spotted a day earlier. Smyeya saw the first of the little houses, which were so flat in the snow that they were almost invisible. He pointed ahead and a little to the left.
There!
Uchitil grinned wolfishly. Night wasn't far off. It would be good to have somewhere to shelter against the lethal drop in temperature. Already he could feel the extra bite in the wind. He lowered the scarf from his nose and mouth, his breath pluming out around him like a bridal veil. Within seconds, there was the familiar feeling of his nostril hair freezing, the moisture becoming ice. Uchitil's band carried enough provisions for a couple of weeks. There was generally the chance of shooting some fresh meat, but best of all was finding a community that would support them for a night or two. Some villages grudgingly consented. Most had to be persuaded. The last time they'd visited Obarchik, more than a year back, there'd been trouble and a knifing. Uchitil felt that this time their methods of persuasion might have to be particularly harsh. At that moment, remembering the words of the little merchant, he rose in his horned saddle, peering into the snow spume behind them. There was nothing to be seen. Nothing, that was, for the time being. With a hiss of compressed air, the massive doorway immediately ahead of them began to rise slowly, clearing the corridor. Ryan's people remained standing still, hands on top of their heads.
Good! Very good indeed. The keeper spares you. A sign of anger and you would have all been cleansed.
None of the eight needed to have it spelled out. Cleansed was just another word for iced or wasted or chilled or blasted or sent to buy the farm.
You ain't muties, are you?
It sounded like a question, so Ryan answered it.
No, we're not muties.
Them women got funny hair. Ain't natural. Green and red. They muties?
Ryan thought about Christy. She didn't really look like a mutie at all, despite what he knew of her hidden powers. He decided to err on the side of caution.
No, none of us is a mutie.
Keeper says he wants to know how you got in here.
It's a long story.
Got time. Keeper's got all the time in the world.
Can we put our hands down?
No. Yes. Yes. Keeper says yes. Nobody ever got in this redoubt. Never in 100, never in 1,000, never in 1,000,000 years. Keeper don't allow it. Door's sealed tight as a bat's ass. No alarms on the outside, just from the gateway. That how you got in?
Ryan glanced sideways at JB. This was a bad situation. The thin, tinny voice sounded crazy. That didn't alter the fact he had them cold. The forces controlling the redoubt would have access to all kinds of sophisticated weaponry. They needed only to shut that bulkhead again and pump in the nerve gas, and Ryan's people would all be dead in seconds. Better to play along.
Yeah, we come from the darks. Don't rightly know how or why.
Not even the keeper knows about the gateways. You jumped? Where from?
The Darks. Used to be called Montana. What else do you want to know?
Keeper wants to know everything, friend. Keeper does know everything, friend. You say you didn't know where you was coming?
Yeah, where are we?
In good time, friend. Keeper has the redoubt in his charge. Keep it safe. Let no man enter with hate in his heart. You got hate?
No. We come in friendship.
Around him, he could feel the tension of the others. None of them was very good at waiting.
Surely shall the lion lay down with the lamb. I have to search the books for word on what to do. Keeper has to take care. Move not, friends. Leave your blasters on the floor. I'll watch. So wait.
Oki whispered into Ryan's ear, but was loud enough for everyone to hear.
Let's run for it.
Where? Past that door and there'll be another.
Hennings moved to the side of the passageway and sat down, his back against the wall.
Can't just fucking wait for the bullet.
Who do you figure this keeper is? Some warlord? A baron?
Could be. Sounds old. And crazy as all hell.
They put their guns in a pile and waited, mostly in silence, for about 15 minutes. Eventually, all of them except Oki joined Hen on the floor of the corridor.
The keeper has considered. You are people of peace? With hearts full of contrite?
Ryan didn't know what contrite meant, but he nodded anyway. It seemed to be the best answer.
Yeah.
You are hungered?
If you mean starved, then yeah.
Come forward. Leave your weapons of destruction. You'll not need them while under the protection of the keeper.
Can't wait to meet him.
Hennings went to retrieve the radio, but the voice from the loudspeaker stopped him.
No! Leave that! There is no need to communicate with the chill beyond these walls.
Well, we can hardly reach Warwag 1 anyway. Range is only about 15 miles. Could be way farther off than that.
Hennings put the radio back with the blasters and grenades. Ryan led them through the circular corridor, past several doors in the roof. The smell of cooked food became stronger. Intermittently, they passed beneath a tiny, silent vid camera. Oki kicked the wall. Sparks flew from the steel tips of her combat boots.
This goddamn place goes on forever.
Hey, Doc. You got any ideas where we might be?
Since they'd emerged from the gateway, the old man had been strangely quiet, stalking along, the antiquated hat perched on top of the bony skull. The business of the trap and the creaking voice with its orders hardly seemed to have bothered him at all. Now he started at Ryan's question.